But nonetheless, it's great to be able to share the word. I want to thank everybody that's tuned in and probably some people that are going to be tuning in. My thoughts today are really about what I think is the greatest blessing a person can experience in life. My topic is the forgiveness of sins. And what I want to share with you today is how that should really impact us in our lives as believers. And as probably most of you know, I'm involved in a street ministry, and I just love going out on the streets and sharing the word, the gospel with people. And it's amazing to see people actually repent and experience the forgiveness of their sins. I think that most of us would have to acknowledge that that's the greatest blessing that we could ever have. And so with that in mind, I want to read a portion from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 7. So if you have your Bible and you're able to follow along, let's just read together Luke chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 36. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of a woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, to whom he canceled the larger debt. He said unto him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those that were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You know, with this story, I love to notice how skillfully the Lord Jesus uses illustrations to teach profound truth. Get the setting for a second. He is the guest in the house of a Pharisee. This Pharisee is called Simon, and it's evident from reading this story that he has a cold heart. He's self-righteous. And he's really a little bit proud. And in the middle of this scene, in walks this broken, repentant, sinful woman who loves the Lord Jesus. You might look at this and in our culture wonder, how could this even happen? Well, in Eastern culture, they would have had these late evening banquets in maybe these affluent homes. Pharisees were usually rich and very affluent and probably an open courtyard. We would say like a backyard patio. And these religious dignitaries would be reclining at the table, and they were on these long sofas where they kind of leaned in and their body would be stretched out away from the table. And they're probably discussing the law and some of these intellectual matters that concern the law. And in walks this woman, likely a prostitute. And I'm sure that that atmosphere would have been just cut. Conversations would stop. And there would have been this awkward silence. Pharisees wouldn't even go near a woman like this. And they're probably thinking to themselves, does Jesus know exactly who this woman is and her background and where she has come from? And what's so amazing about this story is, against that background, Jesus shares a simple parable with profound implications. And here's the parable. There is a certain creditor who has two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other owned 50. And they both had absolutely nothing to pay. One with this great debt of 500 and this other with this smaller debt of 50. But both of them had nothing to pay. And the creditor frankly forgave them both. And so Jesus asked this question, which one of them will love him most? And so as we pick up this parable, God is the creditor. We sinners are the debtors. Sin is the debt. And all of us have nothing to pay. You know, I want to say this as I look at this parable. These are the thoughts that kind of came to my mind. First of all, true forgiveness will produce honest worship. And honest worship will produce love for God and love for humanity. When we understand that we are debtors, we have this debt that we cannot pay, and God has freely and frankly forgiven us, it will generate true worship in our hearts, and it will generate love for souls. I'd like you to think of the alabaster box, this stone flask that had very, very costly ointment in it. I'd like you to think of that alabaster box as a picture of our lives, a treasured resource that really ought to be broken and poured out on the Lord Jesus. You know, there are two scriptures that come to mind when I think of that alabaster box. And when I relate it to my own life, the first scripture is Matthew 16 and 25. Jesus said these words, "Whoever will save his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it." And the other scripture that comes to mind when I think of that alabaster box that probably pictures our lives, that's broken and poured out, is Romans 12 and 1, when Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, because of all that God has done for you," he said, "I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice poured out to God, which is your reasonable service. All of this in the background of the forgiveness of our sins. You know, the Lord is about to ask Simon a question to draw out his heart. And Simon has a common problem. I see it with so many people, even in my own heart. You know what? We all have blind spots. We all look at other people, and sometimes we forget to look at our own hearts. Simon is likely thinking how different he is from that woman. Simon has invited the Lord to be guest in his house, and this sinful woman walks in, and Simon is looking at her, and he's probably thinking, you know, I'm so different than that woman. I'm not like that. Here's the problem that Simon had. He's looking at the outside. He's probably thinking about her past, her reputation, known in the city as one who is just a filthy sinner. And he's probably thinking about all that she has done in her past and how unclean she is. And while Simon is interested in pointing out to Jesus how vastly different he is than her, Jesus was interested in pointing out to Simon some things that are common between her and Simon. Number one, they had a common debt. They had a common condition. They were both debtors, and they both had nothing to pay. We'll give Simon the benefit of the doubt. The past was probably very different. And Jesus could have said, Simon, you're thinking about how much she owes, and you're forgetting that Simon, you owe too. And neither one of you have any ability to pay, regardless of how great your debt is. Neither one of you have anything to pay. And now Simon was probably thinking about how clean he was and how unclean she was. But he was forgetting that he also had debt. You know, Simon's sins were probably covered up. They were probably not visible to everyone on the outside, but they were known to God, because God knows every one of our hearts. And for this woman, maybe she had a reputation that everyone in the city knew her sins and her past. But Jesus also pointed out to Simon something that's very interesting in this parable. Jesus pointed out to Simon that there was a difference in their present condition. This woman who walked in uninvited, she had a deep love for the Lord Jesus. And her sins, which were many, were already forgiven. Simon's sins, that were probably less and covered up, were likely not forgiven, because Simon had a proud heart and he had likely never seen his own condition and never repented of his sin, nor believed in Jesus Christ at that point. Simon, as religious as he was, there was no devotion in his heart for the Lord Jesus. But if you ask this woman, why do you love the Lord Jesus? I am sure that she would tell you, because my sins have been forgiven, and my sins that are many are gone. And she had this incredible devotion to the Lord Jesus. I'd like to ask all of you a question today. Have your sins been forgiven? And is there devotion in your heart for the Lord Jesus? You know, that's a great question to ask every one of us. I would say that probably most of you that are tuned in here today, You know the Lord Jesus, and you have trusted him as your personal Savior, and you have experienced the forgiveness of your sins. And so the question that is challenging my heart is, how much do I love the Lord? Could I ask you today, how much do you love the Lord? How much are you willing to give? How much am I willing to give in literally pouring out my life to the Lord Jesus? Just like this woman who had this costly, precious, precious ointment, once that flask is broken, it has to be poured out. And so in every one of our lives, as we walk with God, you know, your experiences are different than my experiences, but we all experience God. And I think that there are times in our lives when we become broken. Broken as to our own sin, broken as to our own pride, maybe things in our lives that we see and we know are maybe only known to us and God. And as I read this portion today, I just thought about this. Am I willing to just be totally honest and humble myself and break my life open so that God can use me, so I can be poured out? Jesus had really spoken words that day that in that culture and in that time were unheard of for a man to utter. And I would say for the Pharisees, they would have been horrified to think that someone said these words. If you read through the Gospels, there are numerous times that Jesus said these words. He said to this woman, "Your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees would just shudder in horror. Who is this that can forgive sins? How can this man say that sins are forgiven? It is God only who can forgive sins. You remember in Mark chapter 2 when the friends of that paralytic man, they brought him and they opened the tiles of the roof and they lowered down this man into the house where Jesus was. And Jesus said to this man, "Your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees again were horrified. Who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? I want to point out something that is very true and is very clear in this passage. Four things that stand out. Number one, he is God. That is a profound, deep statement. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And Simon is there and he's looking at Jesus and he's thinking. Probably all the Pharisees were thinking. And he doesn't speak these words, but Simon is thinking, if this man were a prophet, he would know. Notice the omniscience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knew Simon's thoughts. I think the scripture teaches so clearly that the Lord Jesus is God. He is one with the Father in substance. John chapter 10 and verse 30, he said, "I and the Father are one." One and the same. Jesus is one with God in substance. I think the scripture teaches that he is one in equality. If you were to turn to Philippians 2 and 6, you would read these words. Who being on equality with God, thought himself not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation. And so the Lord Jesus, as he walked upon earth, was one with the Father. He is God Almighty, one in substance, one in equality, but one in authority. You know, in John chapter 5, it says that all judgment is given unto the Son. And no one will judge other than the Son. Why? Because he is God. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, it says this amazing statement that is yet future that the world will see. It says that the Lord Jesus will set up his throne and he will reign supreme in the universe, and all the nations of the earth will come and will be judged by him. And so this passage is teaching that the Lord Jesus is not just a prophet. He is God, God Almighty, who has the authority to forgive sins. He is one with God in substance, in authority, and in on equality. But I think the passage teaches us something else. And I really enjoyed this morning as I was reading it. You know, it's so amazing. The Lord Jesus loves sinners. He absolutely loves sinners. Now, in contrast, the Pharisees, they wouldn't be caught dead in the presence of a sinner. In fact, if you look at the culture in that day, the rabbis wouldn't even speak publicly to a woman. And they would feel that any woman like this woman to come into their presence would be to be become ceremonially unclean. And yet, there were times when the Lord Jesus actually reached out and touched a leper. And people were horrified that Jesus would come in contact with such unclean people. The scripture teaches that Jesus not only is God, but that Jesus loves sinners. And the Pharisees in Luke chapter 15 and verse 1, they made this derogatory statement about the Lord Jesus. And I think it's thrilling. They said of him, "This man, he receives sinners and he eats with them." In Luke chapter 5 and verse 30, the Pharisees said to the disciples, "Why does your master eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus said these amazing words of grace. He said, "They that are well need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance." And so Jesus is the friend of sinners. The passage teaches that he is God. The passage teaches that he loves sinners. But the passage also teaches us something else. It teaches us that even though every single one of us have a debt that we owe to God, we have nothing to pay. You know, it doesn't matter so much about the amount of your sin. Jesus is teaching the awareness of sin. He is teaching that some might have great debt. Others may have smaller debt. But we all have debt of sin that we owe to God. And here is the commonality of all humanity. We have nothing to pay. There are two debtors, both owed and both had nothing to pay. And so the picture that Jesus is painting about all humanity is that we are all spiritually destitute. We are utterly bankrupt and we have nothing to pay for our sins as the debt that we owe to God. But here's the other thing that this passage teaches that is so amazing. This shows us the grace of God more than anything else. It says he frankly forgives those who come to him by faith. Why? Why would God so freely, so frankly forgive every person that comes to him by faith? And how can he possibly do this? It is because of the cross. It is because of the infinite mercy and grace that God has bestowed upon humanity when the Lord Jesus was willing to go to the cross and lay down his life for sinners. It is because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that our sins can be forgiven. Jesus knew that he was going to the cross. Oh, it is quite true that no one else can forgive sins. Not a priest, not a religion, not an ideology, not baptism. Nothing else can forgive our sins than the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1 says that it is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all our sins. And so I think as the Lord Jesus looked at this dear woman, he was able to say, "Woman, your sins are forgiven you," because he knew that in a very short time, he was going to the cross and he was going to be crucified. And whatever her debt of sin that she owed to God, the Lord Jesus was going to stoop down and take that debt upon himself and bear it in his own body so she could be forgiven. You know, I don't know about you, but I find identity with this woman. I myself have experienced the forgiveness of my sins. And I know that all my sins were yet future when Jesus died on the cross. But God, who infinitely knows the heart and thoughts and intentions and sinful acts of all mankind, he took the sin of humanity. And in that moment on the cross, when Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us, it's the experience of being able to understand that his righteousness was given to me, and that my sin was given to him, and that he frankly and freely forgave me because of the debt that he paid by his own life, his own body, his own blood upon the cross. He was able to say to this woman, as he's able to say to you, as he's able to say to me, that my sins are forgiven because the Lord Jesus paid the debt and my faith is alone in him. You know, this word frankly forgave, it literally means an unconditional act of mercy. It's the same word that is used in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. When it says, earlier in that passage, it says, "Who is he that condemns? It is God that justifies." And so who should lay any charge to God's elect? Is there anyone else that can condemn us? No, because he is God. And it says in that passage, in Romans 8 and 32, that he spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? That is, frankly and freely, unconditionally, give us the forgiveness of our sins. You know that it's the same word that's used in Colossians 2 and 13. After he says about the ordinances, the law that was against us, and this incredible legal debt of sin that was against us, it says in Colossians 2 and 13 that he canceled the debt, taking it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and he has freely forgiven us all our sins. It is amazing that God, who knows my sin, is able, ready, and willing to freely and frankly forgive me. You know, this woman was not forgiven because of her work. This woman was not forgiven because of her acts of devotion. You know, some have looked at this passage and maybe tried to construe that, well, you know, because she did all these things, she broke the alabaster box, she wept over him and she wiped his feet, because of this, her sins are forgiven. I don't think that's what the passage teaches at all. In fact, what the passage teaches is that she was forgiven because of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that her devotion was the result of her enjoyment of her sins being forgiven. So I think that the scripture teaches very clearly that salvation can never be attained by any works of righteousness that we could do. Titus chapter 3 says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, when we were dead in our sins and our trespasses before God, he made us alive, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, for by grace are you saved through faith. Faith. Grace, undeserved kindness, saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No, when a sinner comes to Jesus and understands who he is and what he has done and experiences freely the forgiveness of his sins, he bows his heart in worship and he accepts by faith the gift of God and he experiences the forgiveness of sins. I'd like to point out to you that not only was their past different, and not only was their present different, but it's very, very likely that their future would be different as well. This woman was told clearly that her sins, which are many, were all forgiven. Jesus says to her, go in peace. Your faith has saved you. You know, it didn't matter how long that woman lived after this, but she always knew that there was hope for her, that her sins were forgiven, and when she died, she was going to heaven. You know, unless Simon changed his thinking, that's what repentance is. Unless he changed his thinking and humbled himself and believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior, it's very, very likely that Simon would die in his sins and go to hell. You know, that is a very solemn, sobering thought. I would say from reading what I've read in the scriptures, most likely, most of the Pharisees did not believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said these solemn words to them in John chapter 8. He said, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. And where I am, you will not be able to come. You know, he came and he said in John chapter 5 and verse 39 to these Pharisees, a very sad statement. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. And so Jesus is able, ready, and willing to forgive all sins. But many, many people are too proud, don't see their own blind spots, not willing to humble themselves, and they won't come to the Lord Jesus that they might have forgiveness. You know, those of us who are saved, we have experienced the forgiveness of our sins. And I'd like to really talk a little bit here briefly as I begin to wrap this message up, is what it means for you as a Christian, what it means for you as a believer to absolutely know the forgiveness of your sins. You know, I want to challenge myself and all of us today. How are you living your life? What are you doing with this incredible gift that God has given you? And, you know, we get caught up in so many things, and so do I. I'm no different than anyone else. Get caught up in your career, in your day-to-day activities. You know, you got responsibilities of life, and it's very, very easy to have time just slip by. And your life, like those grains of sand that are in the hourglass, they just flow down. Soon you're in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, and pretty soon you're in your 70s and you're thinking, what have I done with my life? You know, I think, as I ask this question to all of us today, what is the very purpose of life? Why are we here? Like, what are we doing with our life? And I think that our purpose could be summed up in these three things. Number one, the ultimate purpose in life is to know and experience the forgiveness of your sins. That's really why we're here, to get ready to meet God. And if you have experienced the forgiveness of your sins, I think the number two purpose of your life is to worship God, to have your heart every day just lift up to God and overflow in praise and thanksgiving that my sins are forgiven. I have this incredible relationship with God, and I will never die. Even though I'll die physically, I'll never die spiritually, because I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I will pass from death unto life, and I will experience eternal life in his presence forever. But number three, what is, again, the ultimate purpose in our life? I think it is to love God and to love other people. You know, one day the Lord Jesus was asked by the Sadducees and Pharisees, the Lord Jesus was asked this question, Master, what is the greatest law? What is the most important law? And Jesus said these words. He said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And in Mark, it says, and in all your mind. This is what God desires from our lives. And so if we've been forgiven of our sins, and I know that many of you have, and I have, my first thing should be to live my life in absolute true worship to God. Every day, praising God, enjoying this intimacy, this fellowship, walking with God in absolute enjoyment. That's what God has for me. And secondly, from the very bottom of my heart, I need to love God. I need to love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength and all my mind. And then he says, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I would say for all of us, this is humanly virtually impossible for me to love God with all my heart and all my strength and all my soul and all my mind, and to love my neighbor like I love myself. I would say that that's very, very difficult to do. But God has given us two things that help us with this. Number one is the Spirit of God. You know, at the very moment that you receive the forgiveness of your sins, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And in Ephesians 1 and 14, it says, upon believing, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we are adopted as children into the family of God. And so we raise our hearts to God and we say, Abba, Father. He gives us the power, the strength to live as we ought to live. You know, if you were to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, you would see that God has given us everything, everything that we need to pertain to this life and living in godliness. And he says, add to your faith these things. So we have the Holy Spirit. We also have the Word of God. You know, there's nothing like this book. This is the living words of the living God. Can I encourage you today? Read it every day. Share it with others. Go out in the street and talk to people about the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I've got 3 minutes left before 12 o'clock. I want to wrap this up by sharing a couple of things with you. So for the last number of years, I have gone out on the street on weekends and Friday nights, and we give out these little tracts. Looks like this. You probably see this. Well, it's Are You Forgiven? And What If? And we share with people these little cards. On Friday night, I just want to give a shout out here to Levi Yonker and Braden Donnelly. They came out on Friday night, and you know, we went down to Spring Garden Road in downtown Halifax and out on Argyle Street where these open restaurants are. We're sharing the gospel. And one thing that really rejoiced my heart today is I woke up this morning and I got this text from Braden, and he said, John, you would not believe what happened on Friday night. He spoke to a young man who was broken in his sins, and he literally called out to God. And Braden and Levi witnessed this man turning from his sins to putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know what? There's no greater joy than to see and to know and to experience the forgiveness of sins for yourself, but also to be able to share that with someone else. And they too can experience that. I want to share with you a quick story. I will never forget an incident that occurred in March of 2015. I was on the street and I was giving out these cards, and there was this girl, and she was physically shaking. She was standing outside of Tim Hortons. She had tattoos on her face and a lot of piercings, and she just looked starving and broken. And so I walked up to her, I gave her some change so she could buy a meal, and I asked her what her name was. She said her name was Jeanette. I said, Jeanette, I have something for you. And I gave her a card that said, Are Your Sins Forgiven? And she looked at me and she said, if this is about Jesus, I can't take it. I said, why? She said, because I'm a child of the devil. And she said, I have sold my soul to Satan. I said, Jeanette, that's really sad. I said, it's not too late. She said, yes, it's too late. I said, no. I said, if you are living and if you are breathing, it is never too late to experience the forgiveness of your sins. She said, you don't know my past. I said, no, you're right, I don't. She began to tell me her story. It was so awful. And she was 14 years old. She was abused. She ended up in a house of prostitution, and she got into a lot of drugs, and her life was very broken. She told me that on Wednesday of that week, this was Friday, on Wednesday of that week, she wanted to end it all, and she OD'd on some drugs, and she actually didn't die. She wound up in the hospital, and her stomach was pumped, and she was back out on the street on Friday night. And I said to her, I said, Jeanette, you can be forgiven. She said, I can't. I said, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus. And I had this little New Testament, and I opened it up, and I started to read from John chapter 3. And I got to verse 16 and she started crying and tears were running down her face. And she said, you know, she said, my grandmother was a Christian. And she said, I remember that I went to a little Sunday school. And she said, they shared with me this verse. She said, I haven't heard that since I was a child. I said, Jeanette, God so loved you that he gave his one and only son to come into the world and die on the cross for your sins so you could be forgiven. And I said, the Bible says that if you're willing to believe on him, you will have the forgiveness of your sins. And she completely broke down. And I wasn't expecting this, but she reached out and she hugged me and she said, will you pray for me right now? And I stood there at Spring Garden Road. It was a cold night. And I prayed for this girl. And I believe that she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I believe that she experienced the forgiveness of sins. I gave her a John's Gospel and she walked away. And I gave her my email address and I've never heard from her since. But I believe that that dear girl will be in heaven. You know what's so amazing? It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter how far you have wandered from God. God is always able, ready, and willing to forgive sinners. He is God. He loves sinners. He freely and frankly forgives. And those of us who have experienced the forgiveness of our sins, we have a debt of gratitude, of devotion that we owe to God for all that he has done for us. And so I'd just like to encourage everyone today, share your faith, share the gospel, live and walk daily in the presence of God, enjoy his word, experience his Holy Spirit, and share his truth to others. I appreciate the time that you've given to listen to this today, and I just pray that every one of us would be encouraged in our hearts as we think of how amazing the grace of God is in our lives and all that he has done for us. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gift of God, which is eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. It says in Ephesians that even the forgiveness of our sins, the precious blood of Christ was shed. And so, Lord, we are so thankful. And I just pray, Lord, that if there's any that listen to this today and they don't know their sins forgiven, I pray that you would draw them by your Spirit and that, Lord, they would repent of their sin, put their faith and trust in you, and come to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. And those of us that are saved, Lord, encourage us to just live like real Christians that have been forgiven and are rejoicing with God and want to share with others. And so we just commit this day to you and commit this message to you and pray, Lord, that you would search all of our hearts and encourage us today and build up your holy people. We ask and give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.